And be seated, please. Well, it's good to have Myrna back with us from down south. And always a blessing when summer comes to get our folks back that go south. And praise the Lord for that. Be in prayer for Dale Bowman. Dale is not feeling well, has swollen glands, throat issues of some kind. Not sure what all that's about, but remember Dale Bowman in prayer if you would. And ask the Lord to help him to get over that quickly. All right, we are on lesson number 37 in our study of Revelation. This is our last lesson. Doesn't mean we're done today, it just means it's our last lesson. And it is entitled The Alpha and Omega. We are on section 7 covering Revelation chapters 20 through 22. If you need lesson 37, raise your hand. We'll be glad to get you that. Anyone need lesson number 37? Myrna does, right here. Anyone else need lesson 37? All right, everybody else has it, looks like. And our memory verse says Revelation 21, 6 and 7. So we'll go ahead and say those together and begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And again, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And Father, we do look forward to that day when it is done. And the accomplishment of your will. And God, we realize that that is going to be such a wonderful time. But we have a lot of work to do till then. And we certainly know that it would be best if we're very, very busy when you come to get us. And so I pray that you help us to do that, that you'll guide us, direct us into your truth today, that our lives will be right, that we'll be what we ought to be. And again, that we'll be very, very busy as we consider all the folks that are lost and that'll be left behind when the rapture takes place. So please, just work in our lives, work in our hearts, and make this a great class, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we've gotten quite a way through this lesson, and we did study Roman numeral 1, the future destiny. Talked about that, covering verses 1 to 9 of Revelation 21. Then we started on Roman numeral 2, the fabulous description, covering Revelation 21, 10 through Revelation 22, 1 to 5. And that's where we are right now, and finished much of that. And just really looking at the description of the New Jerusalem, which the Bible says is the home of the bride. And so This comes down. We kind of guess the location and everything, how it possibly is hovering over the earth. In fact, the earth becomes more of a satellite, the new earth, because remember, we have a new heaven, new earth, and it becomes somewhat of a satellite kind of a thing that goes around the New Jerusalem. Again, that's just a speculation. We have no way to prove that, but it is a... We talked about the size, the shape, the walls, the gates. We talked about how the foundations. So spent a lot of time on that because the Bible gives us several verses describing the way that the foundation's made and how beautiful it is, and all the different emerald and jasper and sapphire, chalcedony, all these beautiful, beautiful. Stones and how it's made out of that, just an amazing thing. We talked about the street, of course, being of pure gold and so pure that it's transparent. That is amazing purity of gold. And then we talked, spent a little time talking about the throne and the river, and we're kind of in the middle of that now at Revelation 22 and verse 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I would venture to say that there will be no algae. We won't be dealing with algae blooms like they are in Toledo. And it'll be perfect. It is clear. We've never seen. Maybe the closest thing would be well, in Indiana we called them creeks. But you might want to call it a creek. Who else says creek? All right. Of course, Danny Boy would. But we had one of those. Actually, it was a little natural stream kind of a thing in our woods back home in Indiana, and oh, that water was so good, and you just don't find that very often, but we will in heaven, and perfect water. So we'll start there, and maybe get through some more of this. I think. Let me see here. Let me make sure I'm. Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. See, we're getting close. We really are. We're within a year. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God. Use this time. Make it profitable, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 22, we start off and we're looking at several more things. We've just kind of gone through and looked at the different things in the midst of the street of it. Again, it talks about this pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. That's an interesting statement there. And as we think about the tree of life and the river and the street, and they're all there. And in my mind, I see a boulevard kind of a thing where we have trees. Now again, the Bible talks about the tree of life, and yet we have it on both sides. And so in my mind, I wonder if the tree of life is not a series of trees. Again, I don't know this. Or if it's just talking about how the branches are so vast that they go out on both sides, because it says that it's on either side, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, we have this tree of life. And so it's an interesting thought there, how that is going to be. Is it the tree of life is actually many, many trees lining this like a boulevard kind of a thing, where you have the trees, you have the street, you have the river in the middle, and then another street on the other side. We can only speculate that. Again, let's remind you, the street is pure gold. And so we're not thinking about one of our streets, and this water is pure water. This is a beautiful, beautiful place, and beautiful to see. And of course, the tree of life is there. We're going to talk a little bit more about the tree of life later on and get a little more detail of that. But this is just what it is going to be there in the New Jerusalem. The Bible talks about the temple, and chapter 21 and verse 3, it says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb. Wait a second. Chapter 21 and verse 3. We already talked about that a little bit. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. It's so important that we understand this. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So there is no temple. He is the tabernacle. God is tabernacling with us. And then to verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And again, just the idea that God is dwelling with us. That was the whole purpose of the tabernacle, if you recall. The whole purpose of the temple was so that man could dwell with God. Well, in heaven, we're just with him. Amen. And God himself, I love that, the wording there. God himself is there. And then we come to the light. And I think the light is so important. as we think about heaven. And, you know, we're so used to the sun coming up. We're so used to, at night, the reflection, of course, of the sun on the moon shining at night. We're used to light bulbs. We're used to flipping a switch and turning on. Try to imagine where there is no night. Alaska would be an idea. And north of that area, of course, people have described where the sun is always shining. Of course, there's also a period where the sun is never shining. But imagine what that's going to be like. And no clouds. There is no cloud that can blot out Jesus. Amen. There's no cloud that can blot out God. And so the light, it's just always light. And again, remember the foundation. Remember the walls, the gates made out of pearl. There is nothing bad about heaven. There's nothing ugly about the beauty of heaven. The streets, gold, the tree of life, the river that is perfect, coming from the throne of God, the walls, the foundations. It's just absolutely, and it's always beautiful. It's always, the light is always shining. Have you ever noticed, you know, you go to a jewelry store, for example, and they show you those diamonds, they put them under that special light. Isn't it amazing that your diamond never looks better than right there in the jewelry store? I didn't figure that out until I got a little bit older, but I know that, I remember Brenda and I, we got her engagement ring. We got our whole set, engagement ring, my ring, her ring, back in 1976, $300, whole set. What a deal, huh? I think it was a blue light special. I don't know. But anyway, obviously it wasn't, you know, her diamond was not the biggest and baddest or anything like that. But it was amazing how, you know, when they sold it, that thing looked beautiful. I mean, it just shined and I mean, it was, but everywhere else we went, it didn't look so great. Well, it all had to do with the light that was shining on it, and I've learned about that since then. And understand, it's just going to always be beautiful. In heaven, it's always going to be beautiful. There is never going to be a time when it's not beautiful, because the Bible is very, very clear in verse 23, the city had no need of the sun. Again, chapter 21, verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The glory of God and the Lamb are the light thereof. In chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night. Well, that's because the glory of God is lighting it. So there won't be any night, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And so, again, as we think about this, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no light bulbs, there's no flipping a switch, it's just always light. I can tell you this, if you are, you know, if your job is selling light bulbs, you will not be doing that in heaven. It's kind of like funeral directors are going to have to figure out something else to do. Amen. Grave diggers are going to have to figure out something else to do, because there will be no need for those positions. Now, you know, people that cook hamburgers and, but anyway, we don't even want to try to speculate on that. But anyway, the city, of course, is transparent. Remember, we talked about this, the streets of the gold is perfect gold. The walls are jasper. Everything is it's all transparent. Again, the only thing we can kind of get an idea is like our stained glass, only you can't see through it. You kind of can. You see shadows. But all of the beautiful stones and what it's made out of, everything's transparent. So the light will just radiate and pass through. It'll be absolutely beautiful. The glory is not going to be blocked by anything. Remember when Moses, and the only thing I can think of when I think about when Moses came down from talking to God, the people, they were kind of like this. Remember that? And they tried to put a veil over him because he was radiating Jesus. You know, and every time I think of that, I think of how the world would like to put a veil over us. They just don't want to see that glory. Again, when we're walking with God, we aren't always very glorious, right? In fact, sometimes we're kind of, you know, and the world doesn't go, whoa, but when we're walking with God and we're right with God, we glow. I know. Go ahead and talk about my bald head. Well, Pastor, you glow quite a bit. But anyway, in the world, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And when a Christian is walking with God and when a church is on fire for God and things are happening, the world wants to put a veil over that right now. It's just so bright. But in heaven, we're just going to love it. My wife, because of the pain that she has, and in the winter especially, she's in so much pain. When we go south this year, I mean, really, we got off the plane in Barbados, and it's not a huge airport. It's good size. Well, it's the airport on the island, but you come down the steps of the plane. You don't go through whatever that tunnel thing is. You're right outside. And I mean, as soon as she got on the steps, we came from like 10 to 15 below zero to 85 degrees. And she just goes like this. I mean, she's loving it. And it's like, shine on me, son. And that's, you know, heaven's going to be all the time, but it's not the sun. It's the sun, S-O-N, not the S-U-N. And it's going to be so beautiful. Verse 24, it is interesting. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Let's go back to verse 11 again, having the glory of God. Yeah, this is very important. We just kind of, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, trying to cover different things that we'll see in heaven. But the glory shines all over. And it's interesting in verse 11, it talks about, well, start at verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, you know, the glory of God is kind of an interesting thing to think about because as we study our Bibles, we find out that we are the glory of God. So it is very true that God himself is light. And in him is no darkness at all. But we are the glory of God. And I think we're going to be glowing. You know, I think there's going to be a brightness there of righteousness and just something to think about there. Because verse 24, it says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And so we just, you know... In my mind, I just think about we are the glory of God. That's why we need to bring glory to God now. That's why our lives need to bring glory to God. That's why sin is a reproach, because it takes away from the glory of God. The glory of God is God did it. Look what God did. And every person that is there, it would have to be said, look what God did. It's not going to be, look what Pastor Rogers did. It's not going to be, look what Dale Stewart did. It's not going to be, look what any of us did. It's going to be, look what God did. It's going to be, hey, there's George Jamerson. Look what God did. It's going to be, look at all those that got saved in jail. And yes, God used George Jamerson, but God saved George Jamerson. And God did a work in his life. And so look what God did. And everywhere we go, it's going to be, look what God did. Wow. Boy, that's the glory of God. What a wonderful thing. There's going to be a lot of bragging on God. That's what it ought to be now. That's what church ought to be about, is just, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about what he did. And so the glory shines all over in heaven. And the Bible You know, it talks about the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, the kings of the earth. So we have this idea now. There's people on earth. There's a lot of speculation. Where did all these people come from? Are there new people? Well, you know, if there are, I mean, obviously there's no sin anymore, and we know that, and we found that to be true in the Scripture. So there are people, and the Bible does not say totally. These may all just be saved people that have gone to heaven and all of that. But it just says that they're walking in the light of God, bringing glory, bringing honor to the Lord Jesus. We do see prosperity there, and it talks about in verse 26, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And so some interesting things to think about in reference to this light and how the people are walking in the light, how there's no night. It says the gates, verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. So if the gates are not shut at all by day, then they're never shut, since there's no night. And of course, they would always shut the gates in the Old Testament time, gates of a city in the Old Testament time, but really all the time. Anytime there's a castle or where there's gates to a city, they would shut the gates at night because of thieves coming in, because of the enemy getting in. They would always, you don't have to worry about that in heaven. There's no enemy to get in. Isn't that wonderful to think about? There's no thieves to worry about getting in. And so the gates are always open. And then there's no night. There's no, verse 26 says, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And then, of course, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Saved people, no sin, no sinners, there will be none of that. Nothing that defiles, nothing that works abomination, nothing that makes a lie. Not a thing, not a one. It will be absolutely perfect. And again, the light just shines. And there's no corruption. There's no nasty stuff. There's nothing that is wicked, vile, or evil. And so that's interesting. Then I did want to take a minute or two, talk about the nations. And, it does talk about these nations, verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. These nations, the people on earth. And that's kind of where do they come from? The Bible doesn't necessarily say where everybody comes from, because again, saved people have positions, and we'll talk about that, serving God and all of that in heaven. But these nations, you know, who are these people? And obviously there are people on earth that will be on earth, and the holy city or the New Jerusalem seems to be, again, it is the kind of the capital of the earth, but there's other people all over. And the Bible doesn't say necessarily where all of them come from, other than everybody's saved. So that's kind of an interesting thing. I have no speculation on that other than we know what the Bible says. These are saved people. They are righteous people. So as we were talking about the tree of life, it says, in the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of there's our nations again. And that's where I said we'd kind of get back to that tree of life. The leaves of the tree were, the word healing there is, we think of healing as somebody who's sick. Well, there is no sickness. We know that. There's no death. There's no dying. So these leaves are, I think a better idea would be benefiting somehow, whatever it is. And maybe that's why there is no sickness and no dying, because the leaves of the tree of life, which the Bible says it bears fruit once a month, kind of an interesting thing to think about. bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, probably more to benefit. Now, is this the potential for an endless life? Is this what keeps life going? It's an interesting thing about, go back to Genesis 2 and verse 9. Of course, we know that the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. Sometimes people do mix it up with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They are not the same tree. The tree of life in Genesis 2 and verse 9, it says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So these are two separate trees. But you'll notice every tree, it's pleasant to the sight and good for food. So this tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden certainly is a beautiful, beautiful tree, and it's also good for food. Chapter 3, though, in verse 22 makes it kind of interesting as we think of the tree of life. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. That's because they eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Just an interesting little thing. And I know we've read that before, just haven't really thought about it. And so God then, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so man was removed from the tree of life because we would understand here that if he eats from the tree of life, he lives forever. And I realize there are many, many thoughts as far as that go. But it would seem that God kept Adam and Eve and then, of course, eventually us from the tree of life simply because of our sin. And here in heaven, the nations will come and go, and they will eat from the tree of life. So just something to think about as far as heaven. Don't be shocked when you get to heaven that tree of life is there, and we will be eating from that tree of life. I don't know if there will be medium rare T-bone steaks hanging from that. You know, it's going to be hard for me to be a vegetarian. But then in heaven, it'll be okay, I suppose. But, you know, a hamburger, you know, grilled just right and not burnt, not too. Even a pork chop, and, you know, Jewish law is going to make that kind of tough. Shirley, you have your hand up, I think.
It says the tree yielded her fruit every month. There must be some concept of time.
I'm getting there. Thank you, though. That's a good observation, because that is my next point right after this. Good deal. No, I like that. I want people to, I like you to look at it and read it, because that's why God gave us the scriptures. Casual reading, this is why it's taken so long. The book of Revelation, you can read it casually and just say, wow, you know, we see this happening and that happening. Then you can really look at it hard and say, here's some interesting things I've never really thought about. Because if the Bible says it, it is what it is. I mean, the Bible says it. Doesn't mean we're going to always understand it today. In fact, there are so many things we don't understand. So all we can do is speculate. So as Shirley said, in just a minute, I'm going to get to that, about the months. But the thing I just wanted to key on here is this idea of how, because of sin, Adam and Eve were kept from something. And of course they were removed, there was an angel set up, and they could not have access to the tree of life. Well, let's not get into all that. So, like Shirley said, in chapter 22, verse 2, it does say, and this is really good, Shirley, it says, it yielded her fruit every month. Well, month. That's an interesting thing. Time or season. You know, we know that time is not even it doesn't matter. And yet here we have, every month, we have fruit coming on. And so man will recognize that this is a month. And if month is the same as our month, then we know it's going to be around 30, 31 days. And there will be fruit on that tree. And every month, we would assume the nations, they will send in their supply ships, spaceships, whatever they are, I have no idea. Transporters, we could loan them ours from our Bible school. And they'll get their fruit from the tree of life. Again, that was something when I read that, and it's funny, you read this, you know, over the years, you read it each time, but it's funny how that jumped out at me that, wait a minute, month, time. So there is a measure, at least months. But again, how long is that? What does that mean? Is it going to be 12 because of 12? 12 is significant, obviously, the tribes, the apostles. Very, very interesting concept. Again, I don't know. I can't imagine there being calendars. And yet, what about that month? You know, there is that every month that fruit is going to be there. So very, very interesting thing. But the thing that jumps out maybe that is just precious to me is verse 3, there shall be no more curse. No more curse takes in a lot. What do you suppose he's talking about as far as no more curse? Anybody have any? Because we are in the midst of talking about the tree of life and different things like, what do you think, Debbie? No death, all right, but what and that is obviously the ultimate curse, but what specifically, what do you think he might be talking about? Robin, did you have your hand up?
I guess I was just thinking like
okay, punishment for sins. I'm looking at specifics. Maybe more Melba?
The curse of the land.
The curse, yeah, the Genesis curse. And of course, ultimately, that is death. That is the result of our sins. But look at Genesis 3, verse 17. We, again, go back to Genesis. And you know, our Bibles, though, you know, the world would say, well, it's all so confusing. It actually is not confusing. God deals with everything just like it needs to be dealt with. Let's go ahead and have the ushers come as we talk about curses. Just kidding. All right, it says in Genesis 3 in verse 17, the Bible says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. See, fellas? See, guys, what happens? Nobody's even going to amen. Nobody's going to move. Yeah, this is right after the sin, and so look, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. How many times do I say, honey, I know what you're thinking, I know what you want to do, I know what you believe is right, but I am obligated as a Christian man obeying God to do it my way. Just kidding, folks, come on, smile, it's not Mother's Day today, I can say, anyway, all right, let's move on. Thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed, or cursed, is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. See, that's part of the curse. We had to eat vegetables. All right, so much for that. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And of course, the woman, part of the curse was, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Again, we would have an idea here that children would have been born and there would have been no sorrow. Interesting thought. But by the way, another part of the curse, it says, thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee. I didn't write that, God did. But again, part of a curse. So the result of sin, as was said, and of course, sickness, death, thorns, weeds, gone. See, here's what I think mosquitoes are part of the curse. Amen. I think spiders are part of the curse. But anyway, spiders are sneaky. I just don't like anything that sneaky. But so no more curse. The curse will be lifted. And so try to imagine. You have, you know, Clark, we were talking about dandelions. And Clark pulled out the roots of a dandelion, and he said it was 18 inches. Can you imagine that? It's almost down to China, right? It was coming through the sky. No. But those dandelions, gone. Amen. What a blessing. Some of that, you know, crabgrass and all those kind of things, gone. Broccoli, gone. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not a weed, is it? I forgot. But anyway, all those things are going to be gone because there is no curse. It makes me wonder if there will be cats. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm in one of those moods. By the way, next week, Brother Dale Stewart will be teaching the class. My wife and I are going on a wild trip of ministry where she has a mother-daughter banquet at her sister's. And then I was asked to preach when Gary was very, very sick, about to die. He asked me several things, including he asked me to do his funeral. He did not die, praise the Lord, but I did obligate myself. So we're doing that. Then we drive to Chicago and fly out of there. We preach we're going to stop and see Ben and Becky Turner. They're in Vancouver, Canada, and preach for him on a Wednesday night. And then we'll do a marriage seminar Thursday through Sunday in Tacoma, Washington. So pray for us. And I hate being gone two Sundays in a row, but that is what we're doing. Next Sunday, we have Brother Stewart will have this class. And then the next Sunday, we have Brother Marwelli is going to be here all day Sunday. He'll have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And Brother Marwelli, a good friend, good missionary with First Bible. And so we're looking forward to that. And I trust that you will be faithful. And then we will come back and finish Revelation within the next few months. Yeah, you'll believe it when you see it, right? I know. Father, thank you so much for loving us, and thank you for your blessings to us, for giving us your word that we can study. And Father, we try, we really try to study it. We want to get everything you want us to get from it, though we recognize there are so many things we still don't understand. But thank you for giving us what we can. Give us wisdom, guidance, direction as we look into thy word. And just bless, Lord, as we finish up this study. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.